Welcome back to 3-5 Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM with Carl Lindebot. Good morning. It's the day after the elections. If you'll notice, all of our advertising breaks are now 2.5 minutes shorter.
Politicals are over for
right now.
For right now.
Right. But this is going on, and it goes on forever, and that's great health care at Shasta Regional Medical Center. One of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, recognized by the Watson Health Institute. The use of the TAVR valve replacement is there at the Shasta Regional Medical Center, means your chest does not have to be opened anymore and stay in there for a week. It's they do it through a vein into your, or an artery into your heart, and replace the valve. You spend overnight, and then you go home. That's it. And the only reason you're staying overnight is so they can just watch. There's so many great things going on at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. We're here with the our guests today are the Shasta Trinity Unit of the Backcountry Horsemen of California. I slipped out county and Larry.
All right. Larry Schumann, Alora Roger, and Patty LaRue.
Larry smacked me when I said
that. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Yeah.
We know that you're horse people, so early is never early.
Right.
You know,
right.
What the backcountry, the Shasta Trinity Unit, the backcountry horsemen of California, is not just a group that just likes to go out and ride. They have provided support to our area out here, in Shasta and Trinity area. And by helping with the Forest Service, and in fact, even come under the Forest Service once you're out there working, as you know, if somebody's injured or something like this, did I get that right?
Usually, not necessarily rescues and stuff. We don't usually do that unless it's our own people involved or Forest Service that we're working with. But
did I say rescue? Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. No. I meant that you all come under the Forest Department.
Correct.
Like when you're working out there, so if somebody is injured.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's correct.
No, okay, I didn't. Do you all ever do rescues? You ever go out and look for people?
Nope.
No.
Nope. Nope.
That's not
some
right.
of us belong to groups that do, but.
Okay, right. but not this group.
But this particular okay. looks, and I love, maybe one of you could, in your mission statement, I love some of the things that you're talking about here about, there's seven talking points about, and maybe, Laura, you can share with us, like, what would be
statement of purpose.
A statement of purpose, and what brought you to do this work?
The volunteer work is rewarding. It helps not only horseback riders, but we help, like, the California Conservation Corps. We pack them in, their equipment in every week, and they are out in the Trinity Alps. For example, refurbishing the trails, clearing them so that all hikers can get up there without crawling over big logs. We also provide help with the fish and game, hauling in fish from the fish hatchery, Planet.
And we're going to get back to that again, too, but go on, continue.
Fantastic, go on.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically we like to ensure that all the wilderness is clear and ready for all users. History states that people are trying to get the horses out of the wilderness, and so we're kind of fighting against that and making a purpose of clearing the trails so that all users can use the trails.
Great.
That's great.
Why'd you join?
Yeah, why did you? Personal, like a personal.
I just moved over here from Nevada, so I wanted to kind of start meeting other people who were into horses, and I've always liked the Trinity Alps. That, you know, we went there as kids, so I knew that they worked a lot up there. So I did meet a lot of people and was given the opportunity to go check out all the lakes and slowly begin to learn how to pack.
That's
and help out.
Well, thank you.
Well, Patty, you're the secretary of this.
No.
No?
I am not a secretary. I'm the treasurer.
There we go.
Well, I just do the money.
It says secretary here. I'm sorry.
Oh.
That's why I
said it. It does say secretary.
Well, that's, you know what? You're handling the money, and that's a huge thing because, you know, every organization needs to have somebody at the helm that has a mind for these things. I'm a fixer and a doer. I don't operate like that, but I'll tell you what, when you've got a team and somebody's good at that, that's golden.
Well, they found out that I was a retired math teacher.
Oh,
and
well,
they
you
said,
go.
Okay, you're treasurer.
That's where it usually works, and it's usually why you're not there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Patty missed the meeting today. Let's make her treasurer.
Yes. You always show up or you're volunteering. Another thing we do on our purpose is education, especially education of the youth. We do a lot of Leave No Trace classes. We're out in the public. We did the Salmon Festival. We're doing packing with the 4-H. We're teaching them how to pack. And so a big portion of what our unit does is we're trying to reach the youth and educate them.
Inspire them to know that it's beyond an electronic device.
Exactly.
How important that is to breathe energy, positive energy, into the future of our beautiful wilderness area. We lose sight of that, I think. Many of us do when we're in the quick society we're in. So thank you for doing that because it's bringing us back into what it is to plug in.
Hey, you all so far this year, have donated in time, work, horse flesh, sweat, blood, and tears, almost $290,000 in cleaning up these trails. And, you know, somebody's on the other end. Somebody's listening. How do you figure that out? It's easy, my friends. You break it down by the amount of hours that they were out on the trail. And the, you know, like to rent a horse for a day on something like this is $150.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Which seems really reasonable.
And then when you have if you have 504 total stock days, that adds up quick.
Mm.
Okay. So tell us, wait a minute. Let me take an early break. And Larry, I want the three of you to come back and tell us what a typical mission looks like for you. If there's anything that could be called typical.
Typical.
Let's do this. Let's do the fish hatchery.
Okay.
Because that people may not understand how that works. I kind of do because we've talked before and I've seen all the photos. Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Q's Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. It won't be long. About 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education. And absolutely no manipulation, because we're not trying to con you. We're not going to ask you for money. We're not going to try to solicit your support. We just want to give you information. Hopefully, the information will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life, if you're interested. The Flatline is now playing in over 100 stations across the United States and even in the Philippines. We're so grateful for the opportunity for those of you that are joining us this morning and give us a few minutes of your time. Last week, if you listened last week, we talked about dads on Father's Day. And if you want to learn some more about God's direction and provision for fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers, then I'd like to encourage you to request my new book called Family, An Enduring Legacy. Family, An Enduring Legacy. It's a free book. We never sell anything. It has a lot of good information in it that you would enjoy. You can call us, order that book at 800-831-0718. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. And if that doesn't work, you can always go to our website, rickhughesministries.org. So there's three different ways you can get in touch with us and order the book, Family, A Legacy That God Gives You, a Living Legacy, Your Family. So you can call us, 800-831-0718, write to us, Post Office Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or go to the website, rickhughesministries.org. Also, if you have pre-ordered the book, you should have it by now. If you have not received it, then contact us. Let us know. We'll get it to you right away. It's also available on our website as an audio book. And so by going to the website, you can listen to it, or you can print out the PDF file yourself if you want to. That's rickhughesministries.org. Okay, now let's get on what we want to talk about this morning, okay? The Flatline. That's what we want to cover. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. You know that. I said that already. And I'm not going to ask you for money. I told you that. But I'm not a political pundit. I want you to understand that. My task here this morning is to inform you of your choices when it comes to matters of eternal values. But I'm not a political pundit. I'm just a simple man with a spiritual gift. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior in 1967. It took me a couple of years of trying to figure out what was going on after that happened. I didn't quite understand all of it. I knew I'd been saved. I knew I'd accepted Christ as my Savior, but I didn't know what I was supposed to do, what the rest of my life was going to look like. But anyhow, I had to learn some things. After a couple of years, I found out that God had entrusted me with the spiritual gift of evangelism. Along with that spiritual gift, I was given a unique platform. And that's speaking to high school students and high school assemblies. Between the years 1969 and the year 2022, I was granted the privilege to speak to thousands of students and hundreds of schools throughout the Southeast. My message was focused around my life, the many mistakes I made. However, I was not a criminal. I never made those kind of decisions. But I made some dumb decisions. Some of them could have destroyed my future. I think the dumbest decision was to walk away from a football scholarship at the University of Alabama. That's right, you heard it. A football scholarship at the University of Alabama, and I walked away from it and quit. The thing that kept me on the right track was solid, sound, biblical Bible teaching from a pastor. I finally was able to get under the ministry of a guy in Houston, Texas, and it was through his Bible studies that I was able to learn how to execute the Christian life. So much of what you're going to hear me impart to you, I learned from him. And my prayer is that the information I give you will help you discover what God actually has in store for your life as well. You know, I realize most of us only think in the dimension of time. Like, what time is it? How many times a day you look at your watch? But sooner or later, you're going to graduate out of the time dimension, and someday you're going to move into the eternal state. Recently, one of my dear friends, a great golfer, went to be with the Lord, Bob Getz. And the Lord said, okay, Bob, time to come home. And he went. By that, I mean your body ceases to function. However, the interesting thing is your soul will never shut down. The body is temporal, but the soul is eternal. So if I had to define your soul, I would say it includes your mentality, your ability to think, your volition, your ability to choose, your conscience, and your self-consciousness. In other words, when you go to heaven, if you make it there, if you do accept Christ as your Savior, then you will carry your thoughts with you when you transfer. But you will also carry your thoughts with you if you don't make it there when you wind up in the lake of fire. Isaiah 40 verse 8 tells us that this, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. So anything that you've learned in Scripture, verses you've learned, like John 3:16, you will remember that in heaven. It'll never go away. So when you learn Scripture, you're learning something that has eternal value. Make no mistake about it. There will be much more to learn when we get there, much more to appreciate, but you will be prepared for what's about to happen. This thought leads me to ask you a question, and I need to ask it to you sincerely. Are you prepared for what's coming in your life? I'm not talking about finances or future housing. I'm speaking of spiritual preparation. Spiritual preparation. Are you ready for that? If it came down to it, could God count on you to represent Him in the future? Could He do that for you? Because your future security is not based on your finances. So I'm talking about spiritual preparation. Recently, I was studying the Old Testament and reading about Ezekiel, the prophet of God. And I was amazed that even though he was faithful to warn and predict what would happen, if in fact the people of Judah did not stop their evil practices and listen to him, nobody responded to his message. God even told him that. God said, Ezekiel, nobody's going to listen to you. Listen to what God said in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 7. The Ezekiel prophet will have no results. Ezekiel 3, 7. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto you. They will not listen unto me. For all of the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. And that impudent and hard-hearted means they are obstinate and they are stubborn. They won't listen. They won't pay attention. The prophet Ezekiel spoke about a day when God could find no one on earth that would even represent him. There would come a time when nobody, not one person, could God find on the earth that would represent him. Listen to Ezekiel 22:30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I could not find even one. Could God count on you if he had to? Could he count on you to call America to him? How about you? How about your family? How about your neighbor? Can God count on you to represent him? Here it says it's a sad day when God has to look through a whole nation and cannot find even one person that could represent him. You know, much like Noah and his warning, nobody listened to Ezekiel until it was too late. Nobody listened to Noah until it was too late, until they begged Noah to let him on board that boat. When the water started coming up and the boat started rising, everybody wanted to get on the boat then. The prophet Ezekiel is the author of this book, Ezekiel, in the Old Testament. He was not only a prophet of God during the Babylonian captivity, but he was also a priest. His commission as a priest was in danger of failure from the beginning. When speaking to God, this is something interesting. I'll read it to you. I think you'll find this interesting. Ezekiel 2:1-7. And this is God talking to Ezekiel, giving him his directions. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand up upon your feet, and I will speak unto you. Isn't that interesting? Stand up. You want to talk to God? Stand up. Don't sit there on the couch all sprawled out. Stand up, and I'll talk to you. Face him like a man. And the Holy Spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard that he spoke unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me, They and their fathers have transgressed against me even to this day, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. And I do send you unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear you or not, whether they will forbear or not for their very rebellious house, yet they shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, don't be afraid of them. Be not afraid of their words, nor briars and thorns be with you. But you dost dwell among scorpions. Don't be afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words unto them, whether they will hear it or not, for they are most rebellious. Unfortunately, this describes the pitiful condition of a divided nation. It appears that this ministry carried on for 22 years. Judah was under the bondage to Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar, during these times, had captured Judah, had carried off many people into Babylon, into Babylonian captivity. And, of course, Ezekiel was one of them, and his task was not an easy one, but he was faithful. He carried out his ministry, even though he had little response. Can you imagine a preacher today trying to preach the gospel to Americans and no one would listen, no one would pay attention? I see it all the time. I see it through our radio shows. We put out right at 100 radio shows every week, and the very little bit of attention we get from it. Not that we're going to quit doing that. We love challenging it. But where's the hunger? Where are the people that want to learn God's Word and want to grow spiritually and glorify Him? Let's talk about faithfulness. We could call the word faithfulness being obedient. So in spite of his opposition, whatever he faced, Ezekiel was at least obedient to God's call and what God told him to do. Our Heavenly Father is still observing our obedience to His mandates today. And much like those who lived in the days of Ezekiel's ministry, there are very few faithful, obedient believers. Are you one of them? Are you faithful and obedient? Psalm 53, verse 2, God looked down from heaven upon the children of man, to see if there were any that did understand and did seek God. So we have God observing us, looking for those that understand Him. And you've heard me say this on this radio show before. How can you love a God you don't understand? How can you love a God you don't understand? And His sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. He even has a sense of humor. If you don't believe that, look in the mirror. God made you, didn't He? So how much do you understand about God and His justice and righteousness? Do you understand that? You can never get to heaven without having the righteousness of God. And the only way you will ever get the righteousness of God is through Jesus Christ, His Son, our risen Savior. Because the Bible says, He that knew no sin was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. So God's looking for somebody that understands Him. And somebody who seeks Him. Is that you? Are you seeking God? Do you want to know God? You're listening to the right radio show if you do. Because we'll make sure you get the information, all the information you want. If you want to learn about God, we'll get it to you. It won't cost you a dime. Negative volition. Negative volition. That's the letter V with a minus sign. Negative volition. It's the same whether it's today's generation of 2026 or whether it was Ezekiel's generation so many years ago. Not interested. Don't want to know. Too busy. Doing other things. Don't bother me. I'm negative volition. In Jeremiah 17:10, listen to these words. I, the Lord, search the hearts, and I try the reins. In other words, He's looking at man's intentions,
man's motives, man's desires. I search the heart and I try the reins to even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So God is watching you daily. And what's he searching your heart? What is your heart? This is what a lot of people get mixed up sometimes. And the heart is, we're not talking about what pumps blood here. We're not talking about the organ. We're talking about the brain. We're talking about what's in the head. The cardia is the brain. God knows what's in your thoughts. And he said, I try the reins, that verse says. It means he's testing your volition, your desires. He's letting you pull a little bit and see what you want to do. What do you want to do? Do you want to serve the Lord? Do you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Or do you want to do what you want to do? Don't make any mistake about it. Jeremiah 17:10 says God is testing you. He's watching you. He's searching your heart. To say God is patient, well, that would be another thing to think about, isn't it? He's very patient, and he's very that would be an understatement. God is patient. Yes, very much so. I mean, he allowed 120 years of warning to Noah's generation, as well as 50-plus years of the warning from Ezekiel's ministry. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, you read about the patience of God. That verse says, as Peter recorded it, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Very patient. Long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So there's not anybody that God wants to perish. He wants every person in this universe, every person on this planet, to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so they do not have to go to the lake of fire. But could there be a time coming when the Word of God has no impact on those who hear it? Again, could it be coming when people just won't care anymore, they won't listen anymore? I mean, some of it's almost here now, if you ask me. Ezekiel reminded the nation of God's patience when he declared these words. Listen to what Ezekiel told him when he preached to him. He said, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and I will break the staff of the bread thereof, and I will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, prayed for it, they could not deliver them by their own prayers, not even by their own righteousness, saith the Lord God. It's going to get that bad. It's so bad that Noah, Daniel, and Job couldn't even affect it. Just think about that. If Noah, Daniel, and Job walked down the streets of your city and nobody even looked at them, nobody even listened to them, what does that mean? Does God love you? Certainly. Does he still have a plan for you? Yes. Well, what does he expect you to do? Well, listen to his invitation to Israel. Listen. This is Ezekiel again, Ezekiel 18:30. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Now here it comes, listen. Repent and turn yourself from your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all of your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why would you die? O house of Israel, why would you die? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live. What did he say? Repent. What does that mean? That mean feel sorry for what you did? No, not what it means. That's what people try to make it feel that way today. Repent means to change your mind. Change the way you think. And turn yourself from your transgression. That's making a bow turn. You've been going south, you go north. We always kid about people going down the My Way Highway. Maybe you've been on the My Way Highway a little bit too long. Maybe it's time for you to repent and to get off of the My Way Highway, turn around, and get on God's Way Highway. It's still time. Cast away from you all of your sins, your transgressions. Or why would you die? Why do you want to die? That's what he's asking him, and that's what I'm asking you. Why do you want to die? Are you riding a death train right now? Are you on the death train? Are your sins so grievous that God would terminate your life? It can happen. Proverbs 15:10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsakes the way, and he that hateth the reproof of God shall die. This is called divine discipline. It comes in three stages. It comes in warning stage, the intense stage, and the dying stage. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can sin just like me. You and I, we both sin. But everybody doesn't recover from their sin. The objective that God wants us to do when we sin, when we fail, when we let him down, is to recover. And that means 1 John 1:9, if I go to the Lord, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all of our wrongdoing. That's called the rebound technique. That's how you and I get back in fellowship after we've broken fellowship with God. Not that we lost our salvation, not that we're going to go to hell because we committed a sin. Committing sin doesn't send you to hell. Did you know that? What sends you to hell is rejecting Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible said, he that believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him already. So are your sins so grievous that God would have to terminate your life? As a Christian, it can happen. It's called a sin unto death. The sin unto death. It's the third stage of discipline. The first stage is warning discipline, where he warns you. The second stage is intense discipline, where things get a little tough. And the third stage is adios amigos, it's time to take you home. You're wasting God's time, you're wasting your time, and he will take you home. If you don't believe that, read Proverbs 15:10. Compare that with Hebrews 12, where the Bible says, those that I love, I chasten and scourge with the whip. It's right there. God's discipline, when it comes like this, it's not to hurt you. It's not to make you feel bad. It's not to destroy you. But if you won't listen like the nation Judah wouldn't, then your stubbornness and your hard-heartedness has blinded you so that you don't see what you really are. You see what you think you are. And that's arrogance. Arrogant criminals don't think they're doing anything wrong. They justify why it's okay to steal. They justify why it's okay to murder. They justify why it's okay to do whatever they do, thinking that they're not doing anything wrong because of their stubborn, hard-hearted arrogance. I don't know who might be listening to me this morning. And I don't know if these words are even convicting you or not right now as you listen to me. I don't have a clue. But there is much ahead for you. A whole lot of living still left for you to do. But I'm telling you, you're going to have to make a course correction. And you need to make it right now, today. Not tomorrow, today. You need to make a course correction. So I'm going to go back to Ezekiel 18:30. Repent and turn yourself away from your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all of your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why would you die? As God told the nation Judah, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions. That word repent, as I told you, means to change the ways you're living. Change the way you're thinking. That's the key to it. Whatever has been controlling your actions has been coming from your soul's mentality. Sins like bitterness and jealousy and anger, rage, lust, are all enemies of your thoughts. You must make the decision on your own to confess your sins to God if you're a believer, if you're a Christian. And if you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, now's the time to do it. Now, today. You want to hear something interesting? What if I told you you could have a heart transplant today? Would you like to have a heart transplant? Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away your stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you get a heart transplant. There's a new you that comes on the scene. God gives you a new power, a new life, new insight, new thoughts, new dynamics. Today is your chance to have that heart transplant. Today is your chance to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior. My prayer is you've been listening to me. My prayer is you paid attention today, that you saw what was going on in Ezekiel's time and how they would not do anything, how they were so wicked and so evil that he had no impact whatsoever. And you may realize that that's kind of going on in America today, but you can change it all because it can be you that makes the difference. God said he was looking for a man, somebody to stand in the gap, somebody to make up the hedge between him and the people so he wouldn't have to destroy it, and that's you. I pray you're listening. I pray you're learning. And I pray that you'll come back with me next week on the same station, the same channel, the same time to get more of the Flatline Radio Show with me, your host, Rick Hughes. So until then, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you so very much for listening to the Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
A Moment in History by KCNR Radio. In 1889, the Lady of Justice was placed on top of the dome of the Shasta County Courthouse. Later in 1959, the statue had lost her sword after high winds broke it from its hilt. The broken-off piece precariously perched on a platform surrounding the statue. Maintenance supervisor Lloyd Knox removed the sword so it wouldn't fall from the roof. The sword was repaired and returned later that year. By 1963, the statue was removed from the old courthouse by helicopter. It was then put in a brick monument on the courthouse lawn. Vandals started to attack the statue. Over the following years, the sword was stolen 3 times, the scales once. Someone tried to cut off the head with an axe. All the statue's fingers, except for the thumb on the left hand, were beaten away, and the back was so severely beaten it caused the pot iron she was made of to break away, creating a large hole in the center of her back. In 2008, it was removed for safekeeping and restoration to be placed in the new courthouse currently under construction.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, and I'm here with the latest local updates. On November 5th, 2024, Shasta County voters will participate in the presidential general election. The ballot includes national, state, and local races, as well as various measures. Voters will choose candidates for president, U.S. Senate, Congressional District 1, State Senate, and Assembly seats, and local positions like city council and school board members. There are also 13 local measures and 10 state measures to consider. Shasta County will have 59 different ballots to accommodate various districts. Residents can register to vote online, by mail, or in person until October 21st. Early voting begins October 7th with mail-in ballots sent out and drop-off locations opening. Voters have multiple options for submitting their ballots, including mail, drop boxes, and in-person voting on Election Day. As Shasta County prepares for this important election, local law enforcement has been working to address community safety concerns. In July 2024, the Reading Police Department began planning a major operation targeting sex offenders in Shasta County. On October 1st, 2024, they executed this plan in collaboration with other local law enforcement agencies, including the Shasta County Sheriff's Office, Anderson Police Department, and parole officers from the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. The operation involved visiting residences and motels, as well as tracking offenders through GPS monitoring systems. They checked on 43 registered sex offenders and 3 additional parolees aiming to serve arrest warrants and conduct compliance checks. 9 individuals were arrested for various violations, including failure to register, parole violations, and drug possession. Notably, officers arrested Joseph Minnick,
39, who was found with child sex abuse materials and a loaded firearm. The Reading Police Department emphasized its commitment to continuing such collaborative efforts to ensure community safety. While law enforcement was taking action, some community members felt compelled to take matters into their own hands. A group called Reading Dads Against Predators, DAP, was formed in Shasta County this summer as a local version of To Catch a Predator. Their goal was to expose potential child predators by posing as minors online. The group's tactics gained thousands of online followers, with many residents supporting their efforts due to frustration over the perceived lack of prosecution by the district attorney and increased sex-related crimes. On August 16th, a DAP operation led to a violent confrontation with Keegan Taft Rivers in Caldwell Park. Rivers was hospitalized and later arrested for attempting to meet a minor for lewd acts. Three DAP members were also arrested, facing charges including assault and false imprisonment. All parties have been arraigned and released on bail, with court dates set for October. The case highlights the complex issues surrounding citizen-led efforts to combat crime. Amidst these law enforcement and community initiatives, a scandal involving a prominent local figure has shaken the community. Susan Wilson, former executive director of Youth Options Shasta and president of the League of Women Voters, was fired on September 18th following an investigation into alleged financial misconduct. The Reading Police Department is investigating claims that Wilson used her position to give herself unauthorized pay increases totaling at least $30,000. Wilson has been a prominent figure in Shasta County since 1992, serving on the County Board of Education and later as executive director of Youth Options Shasta. Recently, Wilson faced criticism for her leadership of the League of Women Voters, particularly regarding the organization's stance on the Pledge of Allegiance at candidate debates. The situation has sparked controversy and led to multiple Freedom of Information Act requests to various county organizations. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Join the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
I couldn't soldier on this far just to lose. So take your shot. Is that all you got? I'm a fighter. No one can say that I'm a runner. I was born to be into a diner. I'll make it right. Don't throw that pound just yet.
And I think we're back. And yes, that is a song about Trump. I had to throw it in there. That's the latest one, and it's great. But before we went to break, we were talking about Trump, elections, safety and all that.
Bitcoin.
Yes, which all ties together. Yeah, you know. Exactly. So take it away, Nigel.
So this article, it's inferring or it's asking the question, how will the elections affect Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny because I've been telling my Patriot friends for the last 2 years or so until they're blue in the face. Number one, now is a really good time to go back and look at Trump's inauguration video of January 20th, 2017, and look at it with fresh eyes, right? And number two, over the last year and a half or so, I've been suggesting people go and research Agenda 47, right? And Agenda 47 is Trump's agenda as 47th president. So he's been letting you know that he's going to be president because it's Agenda 47. Right? And so every time, you know, Trump speaks, you know, whether you like him or not, doesn't matter. He's giving you hints of what's coming, whether you like it or not, right?
That's true.
And so one of the things that he has been talking about, because I do remember, what was it, like 6-7 months ago when the whole Bitcoin thing, people were like very nervous, and then all of a sudden, I forgot the first time that Trump mentioned it, but he said, Bitcoin, yeah, I kind of like Bitcoin. I was like, okay, there it is.
Right?
There it is. So how will this election affect Bitcoin? I think we now know it's going to be here. It's here whether we like it or not.
Exactly.
Right? And, you know, but I have a question about the security.
Okay,
security,
go for it.
Piece,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, go.
Because I think, 2020 affected everybody differently, right?
Yeah. There was a lot of effectiveness going on there.
There were lots of NPCs, but there were also people who went down rabbit holes. And me personally, I made it a point to follow people who were banned.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. Like theories that are debunked. Just like a good right? conspiracy theorist.
Right? And,
debunked? No more.
And, but I have a few favorites, right? And they have their own podcasts and video shows. But they were banned from all banking and all, yep. PayPals and Venmos and everything. But they have this giant list of crypto wallets, like 20, 30 of them, right?
Right.
I was like, how do you keep that straight? Right?
Very careful if you get that many, but yeah.
So that's when that was another little, yeah. a little ting for me, like, okay, there's something here, you know.
Well, it's interesting. The news announced this week, Michael Saylor hinted of it, and then I think it's been announced that I think Mellon Bank is looking like they're going to get a green light to hold Bitcoin. And Michael Saylor, he's one of the most prolific speakers in the space, CEO of MicroStrategy, total Bitcoin maximalist, and just an excellent educator. And he has said that one of the main things that needs to happen for corporate adoption is for the banks to be able to custody Bitcoin. And there's Caitlin Long. There's a woman that's been trying to create a bank that would be able to custody Bitcoin but also hold dollars one-to-one, and the Federal Reserve keeps coming against her. Like, they will not approve her bank because everybody would probably want something like that, right? It's not fractionally reserved. So there may come a day when you can choose. You can hold your Bitcoin yourself, or you can trust it to a bank.
Now, you said something interesting the other day, too, though, that crypto that is anonymous until you cash it in.
Yeah, it's only pseudo, and everyone has this idea that, oh, terrorists all use Bitcoin because it's anonymous. Well, right now, all the governments control and make sure they control the on and the off ramps. And so the moment I try to turn it into dollars, they have my name, or the moment I buy it with dollars, unless, you know, there's a personal exchange between us off the record. But anytime you try to get it into your local currency, your name's attached to it. So there's an immutable, unchangeable record of when it hit Coinbase, it was Christine Cranley that bought it, and it may go through several wallets that they don't know who they are, but then it went to Christy Matthews, and so it's not anonymous the way that cash would be.
Right.
That's why I like cash.
Except there's no value.
I know.
I mean,
gold and silver. Gold and silver went up like, June.
That's true, which Bitcoin kind of goes, like we were talking earlier, kind of goes right with gold.
Right.
And
it has something to do with the liquidity. You know, liquidity is going to increase now that interest rates have gone down. So there will be more printing and a more fiat into the system, liquidity around the world.
Expansion.
Yep.
Well, and with gold and silver, I think they're going to do well.
I do too.
But I don't know if there's a situation where I need to buy bread and for some whatever reason my dollar doesn't work. I don't know that I'm going to want to go fractionalize a gold coin or even a silver coin, or at the farmers market see if they need to shave it and test it, you know? So I think that I think we were going to talk about this later. There's two different ways to think about these kind of assets, right? There's as a medium of exchange.
Right.
So Christy may sell me some eggs and I could send her Bitcoin. That's as a currency. But you can also look at it as an asset. So traditionally the U.S. Treasuries has the most pristine of assets is what they say, but it's tied to the dollar and it's, as inflation goes up, the value can go down. So it's another way to store your wealth in an asset where you're not necessarily spending it every day, but if there's a need, you can cash out some of it.
Absolutely. And there's a couple things that came to mind here when you talked about the cash out situation. You'll still have a record if you cashed out your Bitcoin and let's say you wanted to take a little bit of profit sharing, okay? And you turn that over to stablecoin. That's sitting in an account in an exchange somewhere. Or you might be able to pair it, right? More difficult to find the pairs to do that and do a peer-to-peer. But you can, right? But that's still going to be a recordable transaction. It's going to be sitting there. If you do this with Coinbase or any other reputable exchange, there's going to be a recording of that. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to get away from that. You're just not going to get away from the recording of the information, the way I see it. In order to make this work and make it highly adoptable, there's going to have to be some sort of record keeping, it seems as though.
And that is what the market seems to show, is that, I mean, there's always going to be some segment of the population that would like it to be totally anonymous,
sure, right,
totally off the record. But there's also, if you want the number to go up, then people, corporations, governments, they're going to want some regulatory clarity. So not all regulation is bad for the industry. It can be very good for it, because then there's this sigh of relief, like, okay, it's going to be taxed at this level, or maybe a government will decide, you can pay your taxes in it. Now, will I ever give them my Bitcoin to pay my taxes?
It's already happened.
Yes, yeah. It's already.
Yes, the state of Colorado accepts taxes, and I believe Florida.
Louisiana, did mm-hmm. they just
yes.
recently?
I think they
yes.
might have been.
There's several states. Even California is talking about that in some ways.
But at that point, hopefully, we're not paying income tax, but that's a story for another day. Go ahead, Nigel.
So, you know, one of the big things in Europe that they've been fighting now, even though it's almost inevitable, is your digital ID.
Yeah.
Right? And so one of the light bulbs for me, or one of the red flags for crypto for me, is that it, you know, they could tie that directly to your digital ID, right, in your phone. Right?
Sure.
And next thing you know, they have the next pandemic, that's something or whatever.
Right.
And you know, you need to show your proof of whatever.
Your social credit score.
Yeah. And next thing you know, you can't do it. And next thing you know, it's tied to your crypto wallet.
Well, that's an interesting workaround.
I do.
They do want that. Central bank digital currency.
They certainly do. Thank you.
Total financial surveillance and control.
That's a programmable coin.
That's what they want.
Yes.
Where they can make its value cut in half after a certain amount of time.
Approve
if they want
the purchases. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Right. They don't, you're buying too much meat.
That's the programmability of it.
But don't they already, aren't they already doing that to you with your, in the store with your ID? Because a lot of times they run your ID when you,
like California?
Depends on how linked the systems are. So what they would like, the whole idea of a central bank digital currency, there's two steps to it. There's one, bank to bank, FedNow, and that's kind of already starting. But the whole idea that the Federal Reserve becomes the only bank, or you've seen in the past, like in Soviet Union, they had one national bank. So even if it was Chase or JP Morgan, but they were the only game in town, then you basically have the same thing. But Bitcoin is a different network, and so there's not really a way, unless they force you to use your digital ID to hold your Bitcoin, but it's a different network. So it is outside of that system, and Trump has started saying that, saying what the Bitcoin people have been saying for years now, that Bitcoin is the only really option outside of this movement towards central bank digital currency.
It is. He denounces CBDCs. Let's cover a couple things.
Okay.
So for the basics, go ahead.
I was going to say, hopefully that was a lot of conversation for you, but hopefully that made you feel more at ease with the security. Okay.
Yeah.
So just some Bitcoin basics. So we talked about that it's decentralized. Okay. It's a cryptocurrency, which uses cryptography to secure the transactions. And that ensures that only the owner of a particular digital asset can spend the funds.
Real quick. He mentioned a cryptocurrency. Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency, but it's different than other cryptocurrency.
Cryptocurrency is more broad.
Yes, it is a broad statement.
Just so we're kind of clear on that.
Bitcoin is the OG. And everything else. Yes. And then there is no others.
Okay.
Right.
I had to throw it out there.
And it's a medium of exchange. It's a limited supply of 21 million coins ever. And the last coin will be mined in 2140, thereabouts. So
we still got a way to go.
We do, but we're over 19.5 million coins.
92% has already been mined. So we're talking fraction of coins.
That's correct.
As we go forward.
Wallets. the wallets are used to store and send and receive Bitcoins. And we talked a lot about that. And you mentioned something about how they manage like 30 wallets. Well, you know, for us everyday users, maybe you might have a couple of wallets just so that you're spreading your wealth around. Okay. So